Just inflatable sex dolls, no females.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to 808's and Ankle Breaks, episode Larry Bird. I'm one of your hosts, Jonathan Kerma, entertainment editor of the Amherst Wire and Hold My Drink sports contributor. With me is our other host.
His co-host, Trevor Wilson, entertainment editor for the Amherst Wire. I think this is the first time our episode title might actually have something to do with the things we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I Larry just go Bird, by jersey numbers.
The Celtics.
Know.
Yeah, it's episode 33, but you know. All right, Kerm, what do we got today?
So today, we actually have two guests. I told y'all.
See, I told y'all.
Y'all thought I was playing last week when I said we were going to have special guests.
2019 is a new year.
We got two. So first, for the hip-hop side of things, I actually interviewed a friend and artist, Grim, a Pawtucket rapper. Just kind of talked about all things, including sex dolls and anime.
I was not here for that.
Yeah.
So, but
it got to sex dolls.
But I'm sure Kerm did a great job. So, and then as he always does.
Our other guest was the homie, another friend of the show, one of my best friends, Chris Yakabuchi.
AKA the instigator.
my former roommate.
AKA the owner of the Amherst Wire.
Yep. That is a lie, yo. Amherst Wire, that was a joke. That's an inside joke with one of my roommates. But yeah, he's one of my roommates, diehard Celtics fan that bleeds green. So today we're going to be talking the Boston Celtics. And if we have time, we'll talk the disappointing Lakers, but we'll see.
This is a very disappointing episode.
in terms of our sports teams, there's nothing happy to talk about, but we'll get to that. But without further ado, here's my interview with Grim. And we're back. It's just me interviewing in this segment, but we have Pawtucket artist Grim.
Yeah. I've been grinding so hard I cannot sleep. I'm so friendly with the struggle that I grieve.
How you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. So we're just going to be kind of doing a quick interview with you. So you're performing this Friday, correct?
Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, to 8 p.m. to 12. But the main performances, which I'll be in, which is like eight guys, it's 10 to 12.
Okay. And where is that?
It's going to be at the Dusk in Providence.
Perfect. I'll definitely be there. Our last week's guest, Reaper, isn't he supposed to be making an appearance too?
Yeah, he is definitely supposed to be making an appearance.
Hopefully. Word. So, let's get started. So, over the years with SoundCloud, there's been kind of like a lot of parody, you know what I mean? Where it's like a lot of artists kind of flock to a similar style in an attempt to gain clout. Very like, everybody's trying to be meme-based. What sets you apart as an artist?
I feel like I don't try to be a meme-based artist, because I've done the whole meme thing probably in high school, and now, like, this time, mostly I was, like, when I started making music, I was wanting to be more serious about it. I want people to take me more serious doing it, so I'm trying to be seen as an artist that's an actual artist, like, basically, yeah.
And how long have you been making music, as you said, since high school?
I've been writing music since sixth grade, and I didn't start recording anything until last year in January.
Okay. And you're how old now?
21.
Okay. So roughly over 5 years at least, right?
Yeah,
word. And how would you describe your sound to a listener who's just now discovering you through this podcast?
Definitely unique. I don't think, except unless I'm doing it on purpose for a song, you won't really find a lot of artists that have the same sound as me, I should say, or in any similarity to me, because I feel like I have a lot of different styles, and even if they do have the same style as me, there's a chance that the next song I'm probably not going to do the same thing, and I'm going to do something different, so there's always that possibility.
Yeah, I've definitely seen how you're able to, you know, rap, and then you're also able to do melodies, and you kind of have, like, both styles, but what would you say is, I guess, your calling card? Would it be the lyrics? Would you say it's your ability to make the melodies? ad-libs, that's something that's also something people, you know, hold as a specialty for themselves as well.
My calling card, I feel like, I'm going to have to go with lyrics.
Lyrics?
Yeah, I feel like most of my songs, they sound good. And I'm not even saying this, like, this is like the least cockiest way I can say this. Most of my songs sound so good that people don't pay attention to, like, well, it sounds good to the ear, I guess you could say. That people don't pay attention.
Sonically, it's pleasing.
Yeah, people don't pay attention to, like, some of the things I'm saying. But I feel like if you just, like, listen to some of the things they're saying, even just ask me, or I might even start doing Rap Genius, honestly. There's some bars in there.
Okay.
Heavy bars.
Honestly, sure. If you want to give us your top three bars. This was going to be a later question, but since we're already on the discussion.
My top three bars.
Or just, like, some that you... They can be funny bars. They can be clever bars that just stick out to you in your mind.
Right, one that's sticking out to me right now would be, which is on my new song "Cat in the Bag" that I haven't dropped yet.
Yeah, we.
It would be.
We'll play the clip on that.
Yep.
That song's crazy.
It would be "You're Missing Your Groove." Got no boogie like Nola.
These niggas young Padawans. I am like Yoda, shaking up by the dick, so she burst like a cola. You missing your groove? Got no boogie like Nola. How niggas is false? I can never get over.
And obviously Nola's Well, if you're a sports fan, you know that Nola's New Orleans and New Orleans Pelicans, obviously, and they just lost Boogie. So yeah, that one.
We always appreciate the, you know, the basketball bars. Over here, exactly. 808s.
Something more than just like involving shooting and Curry. Yeah.
Exactly. Facts. That's exactly. Everybody's go to. Yeah, exactly. Everybody's go to.
What else? I'm going to have to think on this. Yeah. We should come back later to this question.
Yeah, we'll come back to it.
And I'll look at some things and I'll let you know.
Word. So, do you do any mixing or producing, or are you strictly just rapping?
I've tried to mix before and it came out horrible. And it's I've not never easy. Tried to produce, because I think producing is actually one of the hardest things to do. Like, just making a beat, especially from scratch or something like that. Like, I don't know if I'll be able to try that, but I may try it one day. Depending.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you on that for sure. I think with producing, it's all about getting the right samples. Like, once you get the right sample, I feel like everything else comes easy. Like, and it also, obviously, like any other skill, you got to practice it. So it's like, but I feel you on that. So do you have like a go-to producer or engineer right now?
A go-to producer or engineer? If I'm being 100% realistic, my go-to producer right now would definitely be Reaper. And I'm not even saying that just because I'm doing this podcast or anything, but yeah Reaper is definitely my go-to producer, just because I feel like every single beat I've done with him that he's made, or even by myself on songs, all those songs are definitely my hottest ones that I have out.
Yeah,
and I feel like every single beat sends me easy to write to, so that's definitely
like Draco go-to. Skywalker, that was produced by Reaper. Yeah.
Bitch, I am your father. What? Bitch, I am your father. What?
As well as those one you guys did together. What was the name of that one?
Grim Reaper.
Grim Reaper. So where did you grow up?
I grew up everywhere, I guess you could say. I grew up in Providence first, kind of. I was born in Providence, but I grew up in Providence a little bit. Moved to Pawtucket. Stayed there for a while. Moved back to Providence. And then Lincoln, and then Pawtucket again. So.
Okay. And how did you grow up? How many siblings do you have? Did you grow up with
parents? Three siblings. I grew up with my mom only. I have been in Catholic school my whole life.
Okay.
Literally, my whole life. That's about it.
Catholic school. Kind of explain that. I never went to Catholic school. So what would you say is different from other schools?
Uniforms?
Okay.
Yeah. Terrible uniforms. That's about it. That's a big difference, I feel like, between Catholic school and public schools. I don't really see a big difference, to be honest.
Would you say the majority would be like a majority white school primarily?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
How did that make you feel growing up? Did you feel isolated?
Honestly, I can't say it's ever bothered me. Because I'm still friends with some of the kids I went to school with now.
Yeah.
So, like, everybody I've been going to school with my whole life. Basically, I've been going to school with those kids since I was in kindergarten. So, we have, like, we're just close. So, it doesn't even bother me at all. And I never really felt isolated just because I was always a class clown. So, you can't really.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense. I feel like with being an artist, you have to have a certain confidence with you and personality with you. And as the class clown, that makes perfect sense. I already asked you how long you've been making music. Ignore that. Who would you say your influencers are, or artists that you grew up listening to that you think might affect your sound?
When I was in 6th, 7th grade, I used to write down, because this is when Wayne was still Wayne. Well, he still is Wayne now, but when he was Wayne.
Yeah, in his prime, yeah, in his bag.
Exactly. And I used to write down Wayne lyrics. Remember I wrote down the whole, the lyrics to, what was it? I'm So Raw. Mm-hmm. And I got bagged. But I wrote them down. I used to write them down and put them under my pillow and literally learn the lyrics to every single one of his songs, because back then it wasn't going on Rap Genius and just looking up lyrics and stuff like that. But I would definitely say he was my biggest influencer.
Yeah, I mean, Wayne's the ghost. I love Wayne.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm trying to be on the same, not level, obviously, but just the way how, because Wayne's an artist of many, many skills, I feel like. When he's done rock, he's done, How to Love type. I don't know. He's done different. He's done a lot of stuff. That's so facts. Definitely want to be an artist like that who can do something different every single time he's doing something.
Right. He has such an influence over this generation. As you said, the way he was doing rock, the melodies that he was creating, now it's so common for every rapper.
And people don't even notice it.
Yeah, to flip between melodies and then rapping. And I definitely see the influence in your sound with, punchlines. You have a lot of punchlines, like you said, with the boogie, the boogie reference. That's kind of something that Wayne was very popular with, So what are your goals with music? What would you say?
I definitely want to make a living out of it. I definitely don't, and I feel like that's a big reason why at first I was very hesitant on doing music, just because I've always knew I loved music, but I just never I never thought I could make an actual living off of it. And I was honestly, I'm just gonna not even worry about making music or even do music at all. I'm just gonna go to school, blah, blah, blah. But definitely want to make this my first priority one day. I want to make sure that is my first priority one day. And if it's in the line of me blowing up as in being a big artist, because there are some artists that don't blow up big, obviously, and still make money off of their music, enough for them to live off of. But if it comes to that line for me to blow up, I feel like I just have the personality for it. So I wouldn't even mind it at all.
I feel you. Okay. Could you explain your songwriting process to me? Are you a freestyler? Are you a sit back all night, write five songs and then record it? How do you do it?
So it depends. Sometimes I can just go on YouTube. Well, most of the time I go on YouTube and I'll just listen to a beat once. If I like that beat a lot, I will then put my phone on record, put my phone near my laptop while the beat's playing, and then just freestyle a whole song to it. If I if it's an okay beat or a decent beat, I'll usually just save the beat and then write to it later on. And then, or even sometimes with Cat in the Bag, I wrote a chorus to that, and then after I just had writer's block, and I ended up going to the studio one day and I had nothing else to record and I still had time, so I just went in there and freestyled most of the second verse and first verse of that.
Okay.
So, yeah, definitely. It always depends on me.
Right. And Cat in the Bag, is that going to be on your upcoming project, Black Boys Don't Get Depressed Volume
1? No, it's definitely not going to be. Because I want that to be something more, more definitely more sentimental than having, because Cat in the Bag is just, it's a bouncy song, I feel like.
Yeah.
So I definitely wouldn't want to put that on there. I'm probably waiting until I can get a video for that.
Okay, word. And I guess we'll kind of transition to the project, though, the Black Boys Don't Get Depressed. Are you releasing that this month still?
Yeah, I am definitely releasing that this month. Okay. I was going to do it this weekend, but with the show, I'm not sure if I'll be able to because I have a show
Saturday. I'd say wait a week.
Yeah, so I might just wait a whole week and drop something then.
Could you kind of explain that project to us? The title first. How did you come up with the title?
The title, I feel like just in our society now, obviously, I don't think it's only Black Boys, obviously, but I was just putting that name on it. Yeah. Put that name on it. But I think it's just all boys. People take it to, we shouldn't feel sad. We don't get sad or we don't get depressed or whatever, something like that.
Well, we don't show it at least.
Yeah, you know, and we don't show it, so that makes it seem like we don't deal with it at all when it's still, we still do deal with it.
Right.
And I want you to step away from rapping on whatever I was rapping on, depending on before my other projects and doing hype music or whatever. Right. And just step away into something to show people that I can actually make music with a sentimental value.
Okay, word. So I guess I gotta ask this question with a title like that. So have you dealt with depression in the past?
I think that's definitely, I have, definitely what, I'd say last year definitely. Because last year I feel like I was at the lowest of lows, and that was probably when I decided to start making music again. And my friend actually Dylan's the one who got me into doing it again. And once I started doing that again, I was like, this is actually making me happy again. And that's when I really realized that I actually just want to do music.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I feel you on that heavy. So should we expect a more somber and dark tone with this project?
Definitely.
Okay. Word. Yeah. And as you said before, so it's going to be more melodic then, a lot of it? Or am I just making...
nah, you're on to something. It's definitely going to be melodic, I feel like. It's definitely going to be a lot more melodic. It's going to be more darker. It's going to be... It's not going to be, like, trippy.
Okay.
But it will be... It will be closer to more melodic than actual rap. It's gonna be something different, though. I'll tell you that.
Okay. Very different. And how does it differ from Love, the EP that you put out earlier?
Love had definitely more jumpy songs on it. It had more like hype songs on it than anything. So that's definitely something I would say is gonna be different about it. It's not gonna have that like bump element to it. It's definitely going to be a song, like, it's going to be an EP with songs you can just listen to on, like, a slow day.
Okay, word. And how many tracks can we expect?
Four,
okay, yeah. Word. So that's going to conclude, you know, the regular interview. So now we're going to kind of hit you with the speed round, where I just kind of ask you random questions about hip-hop, basketball, you, just really anything. So all right. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
First, do you have any New Year's resolutions?
No, not really, except for to be successful in music this year, I guess. Definitely to go a little bit more further.
Right, right. So I guess we'll go back to the bars now. Give me your greatest, I like to call them stink face bars, where it's like, where you hear them, and you're just like, one of those stink faces.
Yeah.
Like, what would you say is your greatest one? And then also give me, what's one of your favorite Wayne stink face bars, since you said he's one of your biggest influences?
I want to start with that first.
Okay.
My favorite Wayne Stinkface bar would be my favorite, definitely, well, not favorite, but I would say one of the Stinkface bars from Wayne would be, keep opening your grill and barbecuing with it. I know my shit's already tight, so I ain't screwing with it. Word. That's definitely.
What song is that one from again?
That was from Nightmares at the Bottom.
Okay.
Which is definitely one of my, that was like one of my top Wayne songs when I first heard it. I was like, wow. Just because that song was literally just filled with hit punchlines and bars.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole thing.
I feel you. So and your number one stink face
my
bar.
My number one, definitely a stink face bar would be one off my song, Chopper on Me. It goes, I told them I wasn't Joshua with them. Put the Drake to his head, and now his family thinks he's playing possum with them. That's definitely funny. Yeah, that's definitely that. one of those bars.
And if you had to compare yourself as a rapper to an NBA player, who would it be and why?
A rapper to an NBA player, I would go with Kuzma for now. I'm a Lakers fan.
Hey,
and
Lakers gang. That's what I like to hear.
Exactly. I'm a Lakers fan, and definitely him, because young, you see the talent, but you're just trying to see where it's going. You're trying to see where, like, you're excited to see him play, obviously. You see where he's, what he can do, and you want to see him go to the next level with it.
I like that comparison a lot. Jordan or LeBron?
I'm going to go with LeBron, just because he's on the Lakers now. And of course. If you asked me this question like a couple years ago, well, a year ago, I probably would have said Jordan, but LeBron's on the Lakers now, so I must support my teammate.
Word. And how do you feel about LeBron recently saying that he's the greatest of all time?
It's the first time he's saying it. I feel like people are just taking out of, like, they act like he's been saying this whole time. Like, out of his whole career, I don't know how many years he's been in the NBA, but he hasn't, like, Everybody knows LeBron isn't the type to just be walking around wearing a GOAT mask, being like, yo, I'm the GOAT. Or walking into like the stadium saying he's a GOAT 24/7. But this first time saying this, so like, I'm not going to hold him. I think that he thinks he's at that point in his career where he is the GOAT.
Do you think he's done enough to come out and make that claim?
Honestly, it depends who you're asking, I feel like. Because I feel like I think he's done just about enough to be called one of the greatest of this generation, for sure.
Right.
But to be called the greatest of all time, he has to do a little bit more. I feel like just a little bit more. Just because of everything that... Because I did have a grudge on him for leaving the Cavs to go to the Heat. Like, I had a grudge on him for sure.
Yeah.
But, and I didn't even, like, he wasn't even, like, I wasn't my favorite player or anything. Because when he did that, Kobe was still in the league.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was, like, a KD move.
Right, right.
But I definitely feel like he has a little bit more to do if he wants to be crowned the GOAT, yeah, for
Let's
sure.
Let's say he wins one ring with LA. Is he your GOAT then?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I gotta agree with you. I feel like if you're Finals MVP with three different teams,
yeah,
that's pretty hard to argue with. Yeah, exactly. That's very impressive. Next question for you. You already said your favorite team is the Lakers. Who's your favorite player right now?
Favorite player in the league at this moment. Honestly, I've only been watching the Lakers.
I feel you.
But the only team I've been... Yeah, like, I've only been watching the Lakers, and I wouldn't say my favorite player in the league is LeBron, just because he's been in the league for mad long, and he's LeBron, so that's, like, everybody's favorite player, I guess, but...
Yeah, the young guys, they definitely make it tough to pick one. Exactly. The consistency isn't there.
Exactly. But that's the thing. Like, I want consistency from them, but it's, like, one day they're doing really good, the next day they're, like, losing to the Cavs, and it's, yeah, like, come on. But I would say... The player that I have the most interest in, like, seeing to go playing, obviously playing at higher levels now, while seeing the years go on, definitely Luka.
Luka? Yes. Luka has been dirty.
And the fact that he's 19 years old just makes me even more intrigued in him, just because that's crazy.
He's been dirty. I can't argue with that one. He's hit so many ridiculous step backs this year. Yeah. For a rookie, it's just like the buckets he's getting just doesn't make sense. So the control of the game doesn't make any sense for a rookie. Like, it's arguable he's the best rookie. You could argue he's better than LeBron James' rookie year. Yeah. And that's crazy to say. Yeah. He might be an all-star this season. Wild. So we'll switch over to hip-hop now. Who's on your hip-hop Mount Mush? Ah. Who's on your hip-hop Mount Rushmore?
My hip-hop Mount Rushmore. Mount Rushmore. Wayne, definitely. This is hard.
Yeah,
I'm not there.
Wayne's got to be on everyone's Mount Rushmore the age of 25. Like, that's a written rule.
Okay, so I'm gonna have Wayne on it. I'm gonna have Kanye. Okay, I don't know why I forgot that.
Gotta have Ye.
Kanye's
on
definitely
it.
On it. This might sound outrageous, but I would definitely put X on it. For sure.
Wow.
Only because of if he was still alive now, I probably wouldn't have put him on it. But only the fact that his music basically is cut to an end. So at a point where you've basically have that whole collection, that's it. You're not getting anything else.
Right.
So that collection of music
is... Well, we got some more posthumous stuff coming out, obviously. But
yeah, but I feel like all that is just... It's not like what the artist would have wanted, or it's not them... Exactly. Like,
right,
I don't know how to put it, but I just feel like it's not them 100%.
Yeah.
But just like everything that I have right now to put him together as an artist, I would say definitely him. So it's Wayne, Kanye, X. I got two more.
Yeah, you only have one more. There's only four.
Oh, wow. I was thinking that is true.
I played myself. That. Yeah, no problem. One more.
I like that, though. Shows that I really don't know what I'm talking about sometimes. But a fourth one, I'm debating right now very hard between Young Thug or Future. Because I thought I had two more.
That's a tough one.
I'm really... Because honestly, I've always heard Future, but I never listened to Future. As weird as that sound.
As in, like, where you, like, listen always, to the projects, or as in you listen to the deeper meaning?
Yeah, like, I've always heard... Yeah, exactly, basically. I feel like, definitely. Like, I've always heard songs from him, and when his projects came out, I used... Because usually when music comes out, I wait a little bit to listen to it so the hype dies down, so I'm not, like... being annoyed, because I get annoyed when people try to like hype things too much in my ear. Like, I don't know why. Yeah. It's just like, it's not my thing. But I like started listening because I've heard, like, obviously I've heard 56 Nights and all that, but mm-hmm. I've never actually like listened to his projects in depth. And I started doing it, and I was like, wow, yeah, Future's actually the GOAT. So I don't know yet. I'm thinking it's between Young Thug or Future, though. And I'm gonna. I can't even say it though. Like, I'm trying.
You gotta pick one. You gotta pick one. That's probably one of the toughest debates really ever. Like, there's gonna be hip hop classes in 10 years, and that's gonna be one of the really debate questions. Future or Young Thug? Who's the bigger Atlanta artist?
The classes is gonna split because I really don't know. Like, this is hard. I'm gonna go with. I'm gonna go with Future.
I respect that.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Future.
That's really a tough one. That's honestly that's really just personal opinion. Like, there's no right or wrong answer with that one. They both have a million hits. Future is more commercially successful though. Yeah. That's one thing you could argue.
Yeah, he is. He is definitely is more commercially successful. I feel like it's just because I was thinking about it. Future's been a while. Like, I haven't noticed until the other day I was thinking about it, but he's been a while for a while. He's been around for a while.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's definitely been around for a very long time.
Yeah, he's been, like, I think the first time I can look back at his discography, I remember, like, I think 09, that's really, like, the first time Future really popped up. And then Thug, he was still, like, 2010, I feel like that's when he really became relevant. But they both been around for a while when you really start to think about it. Next question for you. Who's a bigger influence to this generation of rappers? Kendrick Lamar or Soulja Boy?
Yo, low key, very, very low key. I seen a video yesterday where Soulja Boy was ranting about something.
I saw you tweet. That's why I had this question.
Usually, I don't retweet anything he says because he sounds weird and he says weird things. But he was saying something that made sense about how he's like basically the influencer for making music digital.
Yeah, he's the first internet rapper, really.
Yeah, exactly. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, yo, he's kind of not lying. Because if you think about it, he was the one who like put everything digital. Because I remember when I first heard basically whatever song, like all those songs that he was putting out.
Crank That.
The Soulja Boy Crank, all that. I heard Kiss all that on. Phone. Yeah, exactly. It was all online. And he basically was making social media popular without anybody knowing that, or without even him knowing that, apparently, until now. But still, Kendrick Lamar really is,
I'm not talking about who's better. I'm talking influence.
Nah, I know you are. I mean, I'm definitely going to go. If we're talking influence, I'm definitely going to go with Soulja Boy.
Yeah.
Because Kendrick Lamar is under the radar rapper, and he's definitely not like... And I don't think he has an influence on anyone in this new generation. I feel like,
for like the spitters, he does. Like J.I.D. A lot of those other guys. You could even argue Mick Jenkins to a certain point. A lot of those like spitters that aren't popping on social media like that. Those are
his. Yeah, exactly. That's his thing. That he has like influences between rappers because they're not underground. They're up, but they're just not as like. Open. They're not out there.
Yeah, they're not. One, they're not making memes. They're not trying to constantly be on your Twitter timelines. Those type of guys.
And those are the guys you have to go look for, which is why I feel like they're not as much they're not as popular.
Right.
Because you have to go look for them instead of them being all over your feed all the time, 24/7, doing something stupid.
Facts. Next question for you. All time favorite album.
My all time favorite album, The Life of Pablo. Easy.
Easy. Wow. Easy. You take The Life of Pablo over My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy?
Yes.
Wow.
Only because...
I am shocked.
When I first heard that album, I honestly... It was probably... I listened to that album for 3 months straight. And I'm not even exaggerating at all, but I listened to it nonstop every single day. Played it. going to bed, waking up, walking to classes. Because it came out my freshman year of college. I definitely played that album. It's tied up there, though. It is tied with one of the Carters.
Yep, I feel
it. It's definitely tied to one of the Carters. I can't remember the number, but it's definitely up there for me.
Okay.
Definitely.
Word, word. Next we got for you, what's your dream collab? Like, the biggest artist in the world. My dream
collab. Wayne. I would definitely want to make a song with Wayne.
Right, makes sense. Anybody else?
Wayne or Kanye.
Okay.
One of the two. Word. I would want to, that'd be my dream, like, my dream collab, to be on a song with Wayne or Kanye.
Makes sense. Two. That's once again, like, any artist under the age of 25, I feel like that's just the number one answer. You gotta answer with that. Favorite TV show right now?
My favorite TV show right now would be Anime Count.
Yeah, the next question was gonna be anime based, so yeah,
you can. Alright, so I'll give you a TV show right now then. I've been watching You a lot on Netflix.
Okay.
And that just counts as a show, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, what is that about? Because I've seen, people have been talking about definitely it, but I haven't actually watched it. Okay.
All right, it's basically this guy, he's mad weird for some reason, and he meets this girl at a bookstore. Well, she meets him at a bookstore because he works there.
Mm-hmm.
And he automatically just, like, falls in love with her and starts stalking her. But the thing that's weird about it is that she's, like, she's feeling him low-key, but instead of him actually talking to her, he just stalks her, and it makes no sense. And it's like, why don't you just talk to her if you see that she has interest in you instead of stalking her? And you're just mad confused as to why you're doing that.
I'm gonna have to give that a watch, because that just, that's so, that's vague enough for me to be like, why is this a show? I'm gonna actually peep that.
No, yeah, and it's really good.
Next question for you is, well, it's not even a question, put us on to some anime. For me,
put you on to some anime.
I've just started to get into anime besides, like, Boondocks and Avatar, where it's, like, that's American variations of anime. But, like, I started Samurai Champloo. I think that's how you pronounce it. I just started that. I watched, like, 8 episodes of Dragon Ball. I kind of started that a couple months ago. I got to go back to that. But put us on to some anime.
For people who have Netflix and are always on Netflix, watch Death Note, the animated version. Do not watch the American version. It's terrible. It's disgusting. And okay. I would never wish that on my worst enemy. And so we got Death Note, Baki, B-A-K-I, that just came out recently. Netflix is also really, like, Netflix makes really good movies. For some reason, they also make really good animes, because they've been really on a crazy wave recently of making, like, animes that I've been like, wow, that makes, like, that's crazy that they actually made this. So, we got Death Note, Baki, and Seven Deadly Sins. Those three are good starters, I feel like.
Bet.
And Seven Deadly Sins and Baki are on Netflix. So is Death Note, actually. All three of those are on Netflix. Okay. So, yeah, definitely give that a look. All
right. Last two questions. Are you a gamer? Do you play video games?
Yeah, I love playing video games, actually. What's your go-to? Fortnite right now. Yeah. Fortnite right now, only because it hasn't died. That's probably one of my favorite games, like, of a couple years, honestly. Just because I'm a big multiplayer guy. I love single-player games, but I'm a multiplayer guy, too. And playing with your friends on something that doesn't die ever.
Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah, I like that.
I had to retire from Fortnite because I took, like, I want to say it was really only, like, 3 weeks off. And then I saw, like, the updates, and I'm just like, this game, there's, like, zombies in the game at some point. I was just like, I don't know. Thanos was in it at some point. I was like, I gotta
retire. Really do. They be doing, like, they try to update it. They do update it every week.
Yeah.
For as long as I've been playing it.
You take 3 weeks off, and you're really, like, behind the curve.
Yep.
So I had to give up on that. But our last question for you, I had to ask, which we kind of addressed it earlier. When are you dropping Cat in the Bag? Can't be knocking on the door. Who is it? I don't know. They just want to be around me because I'm about to catch a glow. I got one bitch, two bitch, yellow bitch, rude bitch. She don't fuck with you. She is for the crew. Bands in my pocket, I just don't know. We've seen clips on Twitter.
Yeah.
That song is wild. I love the Dr. Seuss reference. Crazy beat. Just so, when can we expect that?
I am a big thing that I've been waiting on, honestly, is I want to do videos now, because this year I want to try to get out some visuals just for, I guess, fans, you could say.
Yeah.
And people who want to, like, listen to my music. Most times people want to listen to someone's music, they definitely don't go to SoundCloud first. They're right. definitely looking for your video first or your whatever. Yeah, like basically some type of visuals to know you.
Visuals matter exactly. more than anything tonight.
Which is why I put out that snippet. But definitely, I want to do a video first. I already have a place plan for the video. I'm going to do it at Sky Zone.
Okay.
And in Sky Zone, I'm trying to get a private party for Sky Zone and have a bunch of sex dolls and me and my boys for this video. And it's going to be dope. So...
will there also be or will it just be
okay. There's no females, just sex dolls. Just inflatable sex dolls, no females. We don't want any females in the video whatsoever. Wow. So it's gonna be lit.
Wow. That that honestly might be music video of the year if you could pull that off.
Just honestly.
The visual of a bunch of sex dolls, like I can't think of a video where that's been done.
Exactly. And just that's no wild. Like no females. I feel like mad rappers now, they try to use, like, try to get the baddest girls in their videos.
Yeah.
So it boosts their videos or, like, just, I don't know, but nah, no.
Word. Okay. So that concludes our interview with Grim.
Yeah.
Sex dolls.
Yeah, sex dolls and jumping around with sex dolls.
But you want to tell everybody your social media as well as your SoundCloud so they can go ahead and follow you?
All right. My SoundCloud is Grim2Ms, G-R-I-M-M, underscore, Adventures, with a S at the end of it. That's my SoundCloud. Word. My Twitter is underscore Grim Adventure.
Okay.
2Ms, no S. My Instagram is underscore Grim Adventure, no S, underscore.
Bet. But yeah, thanks for coming on, bro.
Thank you for having me.
And we're back. It's time for basketball talk, boys. Ankle breaks, you know what it is. Trevor, give us the fast break.
So, fast break, one of our new segments. We're just highlighting some of the news in the NBA this week. We actually got a pretty big fast break this week, so we're going court to court, courtside with it. Coast to coast, that's what I meant to say. So first, James Harden continues his spectacular offensive run. He breaks Kobe Bryant's streak for 30-plus point games of 17. Note that we know that Wilt Chamberlain had 65, but he is excluded because that number is untouchable.
Yeah.
Moving on, Mavs, J.J. Barea, pretty big piece for the Mavericks, I would say, this season. Out indefinitely, and will have Achilles surgery. Kyle Korver passes Jason Terry for fourth on the all-time three-point list. And meanwhile, Curry passed Terry for third. So a little movement there. Curry's probably going to be, when it's all said and done...
oh, without a doubt, he's
first place. Yeah, without a doubt. And the Oklahoma City Thunder will retire Nick Collison's number, making it the first in franchise history. I mean,
that's big.
It's kind of hilarious because, like, I think the guy averaged like 5-5-1 throughout his career. But
it's the same with like Udonis Haslem.
Yeah, like, but he's like a lot of the players have said he's been a mentor and a huge piece of the team's success. You know, in terms of morale, teamwork, he's the glue that holds it together. So you got to appreciate that. 76ers demolished the Timberwolves at home. 149-107, Jimmy Butler made it known. Joel Embiid's Instagram post was hilarious. Yeah, I don't know if you saw that.
I did see that.
He said something like, it was an honor to play with the third stringers that...
or no, he said it was an honor to be one of the,
third stringers
beat the Timberwolves.
That is just crushing if you're the Timberwolves.
Butler, he didn't have a crazy game. He had 19, but the fact that Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins combined for 25 is just kind of hilarious.
Yeah, he's still in their heads. He owns so much real estate there. Moving on, the Warriors regained the one seed after destroying the Nuggets last night as well, 142-111, with 51 points and 10 threes in the first quarter alone, making it an NBA record since the shot clock came into effect. 51 points in the first quarter, beating out, I think, the Suns for 50. That's insane.
No boogie.
They shot 76% that quarter. KD went 7-for-7 with 17 points, so that's all you need to know. And on top of that, they currently hold the biggest win streak in the West with 5 games straight. And yep, Boogie's anticipated to come back this month. I think maybe even next week, right? That's what they're saying?
Yep.
It's word on the street?
Yes, sir.
And then for the East, the one seed Raptors hold the biggest streak in the East at 5 games. And in the East also, the Bulls currently hold the longest losing streak in the NBA with 8 games after losing to the Lakers. Thank God, Kerm, last night.
I mean, everybody's been breaking their streaks against us, the Knicks, the Cavs. It's about time someone lost when they've been losing. It's about time.
But that is the fast break for this week. And without further ado, I will introduce our special guest, Chris Iacobucci.
What up, what up? It's great to finally be here.
Absolutely.
It's about time. It's been a long time coming. Chris has been, he's low-key been a part of the podcast process for a while now. He was my roommate sophomore year when me and Trevor got started.
Brainstorming with you guys. Yes.
Facts. All
he's,
facts.
He's seen the ups, the downs, the procrastination. He's seen it all.
All facts. All facts.
When we were looking up SpongeBob beats, he was there. He was all there. All facts. But.
Yeah, I've been seeing this Celtics season too. And
oh, yeah.
It hasn't been good.
It only took them to go on a 3-game slide to get Chris on the show. So yeah, like Celtics on a 3-game losing streak, that's the main topic for today. I think the Celtics have overwhelmingly been the most disappointing team of the season. The Lakers. I didn't expect the Lakers. I mean, I did expect the Lakers to be where they're at. But I mean, they also have been without LeBron for a couple weeks now, so.
So yeah, I'll kind of just introduce the topic for us. So Celtics, as Trevor said, they're in a 3-game losing streak. They're 5-5 in their last 10. After Saturday's loss to the Orlando Magic, Kyrie Irving was quoted saying, "The young guys don't know what it takes to be a championship level team." Jaylen Brown essentially responded through the media to that, where he said, "We can't make comments, we can't point fingers, we just got to empower each other. If we don't, everybody's going to go into their own shells." There was even like a clip from the game before the Orlando Magic game against Miami where Jaylen Brown and Marcus Morris got into a little quick little push match. They had to get pulled away from each other, so things are not looking good in that respect. So my first question for both you guys as diehard Celtics fans, on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being trade everybody, how worried are you about the Celtics right now?
I'm gonna say a 4 right now. Because we can't make excuses anymore. We're more than halfway through the season now. I don't think we need to trade everybody, but I think moves do need to be made. And especially concerning, you know, because everybody seemed so confident that Kyrie was going to re-sign, and now he's saying all this stuff about the young guys, and obviously the Celtics have a very young core. So I've heard a lot from both ends. I hear blow up the team and build around Jaylen and Jason Tatum, and I also hear...
I don't know about all that.
Yeah, I don't know about that either, but...
Chris, what do you think?
All right, you guys are going to laugh at me, but I'd say 1.5, 2.
I respect that.
And that's being...
I mean, they're still a 4 seed.
Five seed.
About 6 games out of the top seed. And I just think in basketball, talent trumps all. And if you look at it top to bottom, I still think when healthy, and that's been a big thing for them this year, they've been injured. Maybe not in games missed, but Al Horford, Gordon Hayward, a lot of people haven't been playing at their best. When healthy, I think the Celtics are the most talented team in the East. And in a playoff series against every team except maybe Toronto, if they have home court advantage, I would put the Celtics as favorites as long as they can right the ship. And even though it's been looking really negative right now, there have been positives throughout the season that have been encouraging. But I don't know if you want to start to get on the root of what I think and probably what Trevor thinks some of the problems are with the Celtics.
Yeah, that's why they've been dropping these games.
Mm-hmm. But like unlike a lot of teams, though, I just feel like there's no, like, one thing that you can just look at and say, this right here is the problem. This is where they need to focus their attention. It's, like, so many different things. I think it's been different things at different points of the season. Right now, obviously, it seems like it's more of an effort thing. You obviously had Kyrie calling out the young guys. The young guys kind of responded. I think I heard Bill Simmons say this a couple weeks ago, where I just think that the order needs to be set on the team.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, a lot of people... I've heard that, too, that Brad Stevens kind of needs to step up and, like, kind of just, like, take control. Because he's a very free-flowing guy when it comes to this team. You know, he lets the players do what they want in a certain sense. But, you know, there comes a time where, you know, you got to stop playing good cop and you got to be bad cop. Yeah. You know, and I think that's a big part of it, too. And a lot of people were calling for Brad's head.
That's ridiculous.
I don't think this is his fault at all. I just think that maybe him as the coach, he needs to step up and take a little bit more control of this team.
This is what I think needs to happen personally. All right, so right now, it's just, if you watch them day to day, they're just so jumbled. They go on these runs where for the first two quarters, they'll be playing fine offense, fine defense, and then they almost just get lackadaisical. Mm-hmm. Especially, I've noticed it happens a lot. Like, all the time, they'll win three games in a row, win four games in a row, and then someone will write that story on ESPN, on Yahoo Sports, whatever. Oh, the Celtics are back. Gordon Hayward's back. And then they show up to the next game. Maybe it's a road game against a bad team. They show up thinking they're the and then they take a quarter off, and then all of a sudden they're down 20.
That's the Lakers, bro. Honestly, the Lakers, the LeBronless Lakers. I don't know what's good with everybody, but there's some games they just show up and they're just like, "Yeah, we got this." So I can relate on that.
Yeah, I just think
they coast it.
Kyrie needs to. That's why I was so excited after the Orlando Magic game and was kind of bummed when he was hurt. I just think he needs to go in the full-on untucked God mode, Kyrie mode. Start taking like five more shots a game.
Okay.
Really show these people where it's at, especially when those runs are happening where the other team's starting to go off on him a little bit, the defense, yeah. The heads are dropping. He needs to come out and be like, all right, I'm carrying us for this quarter. I'm carrying us for this 5 minutes. I'm going to show him what I do. I'm Kyrie. And then I feel like everyone else will fall in line, well, if that makes sense.
That goes to my next question. Are we sure Kyrie Irving is a leader?
I really think he can be, but he has adopted like the same mindset that LeBron had, where, you know, it seemed like he was blaming teammates, because that's what he did after the Magic loss. And yeah, Kyrie, that fourth quarter, like, he was the reason that we even got back in that game at all. I really think he has it in him to be a leader. It's just, I also think, because to your point, Chris, you said that the Celtics have like so much talent. And Terry Rozier came out, I think, yesterday and said that we are too talented.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
And
yeah, it sounds like he needs to get traded.
Yeah,
that's the problem. Because you really can't trade anybody because they can't get AD till this summer.
Yeah.
It also, like, what the reality of it is that Terry Rozier's trade value is kind of low right now.
That's he played awful against Brooklyn.
He played terrible against Brooklyn. That was I really wanted him to have a big game there, and I think he shot like 3 for 12.
Yeah.
Like,
I just remember he had like turnovers in the first, was missing shots. His defensive assignment, I remember he tried to like cheat on a screen, then got caught on that, and they made a three off of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was – Brad called the timeout.
Yeah,
after the first play of the game. I was like, you know, half watching, like, the game just got on. And then all of a sudden it goes to commercial. I'm like, what just happened? I had to rewind. Terry Rozier missed his assignment, went under his screen, wide open three for, I think, D'Angelo Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Timeout immediately. Brad was pissed. So, yeah, you could tell that there's some kind of strife going
on.
From all, like, accounts, apparently they're not a very close team. Like, there are little cliques on the team, but it's not like – hum ho, we're all together fighting, kind of like it was last year when
they were faced with a lot of adversity. The hospital Celtics.
Yeah, exactly. But especially when you get into these past few games with the injuries that have been happening, which is a real understated part of this team. If you look at Al Horford, he just hasn't been the same player this year that he was last year. Last year, especially on defense, all of his metrics were in at least the 75th percentile pick and roll defense closeouts. And now he's more completely dead average, even below average in a lot of those things. And he's been suffering from a knee injury all year. It's been well documented Gordon Hayward struggles to get back to his former self.
I expected. And, like, I don't want to come out and be like, oh, well, like, it shouldn't be taking this long. But, like, I mean, why is it only that he's feasting on the Timberwolves? Like, where?
I think that's just random. I mean, yeah. Like, especially, he's been horrible on back-to-backs. Like, he just doesn't have his legs under him yet. He's still a little, he's not as scared as he was at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he'll drive to the basket now, but his athleticism, especially on defense, sometimes he gets roasted. Like, he's not the same defender he was.
He just doesn't have that step.
Yeah, I think it will come back in time. It came back for Paul George. Paul George Absolutely. Was around the same age when the injury happened, but will it happen by the playoffs?
Yeah, it depends on like how long we're willing to wait. And like we know what Gordon Hayward's capable of. He's a great offensive talent. It's just these things take time, and I don't know if I'm ready to like let him go yet, because I really believe that he can develop into something special.
And plus, that's Brad's guy.
Too, exactly.
Right? Boys.
So what would you? Because we're kind of just going in circles a lot of with this discussion. So who would you say are the three biggest culprits, per se? Would you say injuries are one of the three biggest culprits
chemistry.
Effort, injuries.
Yeah, because, I mean, the past couple games, like, they were down, like, 26 to the Nets at one point.
Yeah.
In the last 6 minutes of the game, they were like, all right, let's try and pull together a comeback.
That's what the Lakers tried to do against the Cavs.
Yeah, it's I don't get why like the Celtics consistently wait to like the last six minutes of every game.
If you look at all the times they've been down, I think almost every game except for the Bucks game where they got blown out at home, which was a bad sign.
They fought back
and made it a close game, but that which is a good sign.
But where is that through like 48 minutes? Like that shouldn't be in the last six minutes. That's like been my biggest issue watching them play. Going through this three game slide is like they start out good. They start out shooting like decently well. I mean, the Heat game, they were shooting so poorly, and the Heat were just wet for a certain time of the game there. It was impossible to stop. But you always just see them like the third quarter, they just slide and they just like ease off. And like, you got to be pedal to the metal the whole time. Like, that's this league. And I miss that. Like, I miss seeing like the effort that like the hospital Celtics put in. I feel like a lot of these guys are just like taking their foot off the gas. And it shows because we go down by like 15 and then they're like, shit, there's 5 minutes left in the game. Like, we're probably going to lose. Right. And like, even the Nets game, I think they still lost by like 9. Yeah. But like, and even then, I gave them no credit. I didn't feel good about that one bit. I wasn't even like, well, they came back. I was like, well, you waited 6 minutes to come, like to the last 6 minutes of the game to come back. Like, effort, I definitely agree. That's like a big, point of emphasis for the Celtics. I think chemistry is a huge issue too right now.
I think that's a little overblown. If I'm
the chemistry thing. Well, yeah. I mean, like, yeah, Twitter has kind of blown it up.
I think it's. I think it's more. I think it's more that just like there's so like Terry Rozier said, there's so many talented players that it's just different night to night. Like people, they don't know who's attacking, who's doing what. They don't know what their role is.
Yeah, that goes
the
back
offense.
To the pecking order that you were talking about.
Yeah,
before.
That's
what that
I
matters. And
needs to be a hierarchy.
Do we think Brad Stevens has come up with the best lineups, or could
I think
improved,
yeah,
or
I
like
absolutely.
There's no better lineups that could be made.
I mean, I think I really love Marcus Smart starting.
Yeah,
ever since he's started, that lineup is one of the three best lineups in the league. He's
offensively
the team,
and he's been shooting over 40% from three in the past 15 games. He's been on fire.
Wild.
He's above the league average.
I know. That's really good. I mean, who knows how long he can keep it up.
We just need practice Marcus Smart to come out so he can shoot 90% from beyond the arc, and then we'll be set.
But the lineup of the two Marcuses is really good. It's just when the bench comes in, that's where things...
And how do you feel about the Time Lord and his minutes?
Oh, I love it. He needs to get more minutes.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
See, they did a similar thing against Miami a couple days ago where they went down big, and he was actually the one that kind of led the comeback.
Every time he was in... Like, I think his plus minus was ridiculous.
Yeah, I think he was
that
the
game.
Only one with a good plus minus that game.
Every time
he was just putting an effort on defense. He offers the Celtics something that they don't have in any other player, which is athleticism at the big man role. And that's another low key thing is them missing Aaron Baines. They're already with him. They're very susceptible to like those long shot blocking centers. They don't already get enough points in the paint or enough free throws. And when you put in a big guy like a Allen, like a Hassan Whiteside, who they've been playing these past few games, they really struggle to get to the free throw line and to the paint. And without Baines in there defending in there sealing out, it's a real struggle.
Yeah, I think Time Lord needs more minutes. I think he needs more play time.
All right, so I think to wrap this up, I kind of wanted to get this in the direction of talking about Kyrie Irving. So I think we're gonna kind of go back to that.
Right,
so as I said before, are we sure Kyrie Irving is a leader? That's the first question I'm gonna ask you guys again. Yes, no.
I mean,
are we sure?
It's so hard to say because you're obviously not in there with the team, but like from his comments, I think what's important is that he's trying to be a leader. He's trying to light a fire under these guys because it is a lot of the young guys who aren't putting in that effort.
Yeah.
It's like Marcus Morris, who I loved when he was pushing Jaylen Brown because Jaylen Brown was playing he deserved to be pushed. He deserved to be yelled at. And against the Magic and against the Nets too, the two games after, Jaylen Brown played a lot better after that happened. I think he's at least trying to poke them in the right direction. I don't know if going through the media is necessarily the best way.
Yeah,
the reason I asked this question is because, let's be real, if Kobe said something to the media, nobody's saying shit back. That Jaylen Brown comment of, we can't point fingers, we just got all...
Jaylen Brown is a free thinker.
I saw this interesting theory that, like, Kyrie is by all means like an absurd human. Like, he is a weirdo. Like, believes in a lot of weird shit. And, you know, I feel like if you're Jaylen Brown, who appears to me to be an intellectual.
Yes, he's an intellectual man.
Like, why would I want to take shit from somebody that thinks the earth is flat? Yeah.
That's why Kyrie's got to go dog on him. Put up 45 against the Raptors, 50 against the Raptors, and say, what now,
yeah.
Jaylen Brown?
So I think, I mean, yeah, if you're Jaylen Brown, I think you got to look past that and be like, all right, well, this guy wants to win. Yeah. Like, I can't be upset about my role on this team. Because yeah. Jaylen went from starting to coming off the bench this year. I thought that was a reason why he was slumping, where he couldn't adjust to his role. And, you know, you see him hanging his head. You see a lot of those young guys hanging their heads. Tatum misses a shot, immediately hangs his head after he misses a shot. So I think they just got to keep encouraging those young guys instead of criticizing them. So, because Jaylen, like, he did have that horrible game against Miami, but, like, he did have a good game against the Nets.
I think he had 2 points against Miami.
Yeah, his game against the Nets was very impressive. He had that crazy dunk, but regardless,
he was good against the Magic too. He didn't really play.
I think he's on an upswing. I think there needs to be more encouragement. I can't like you said, going through the media, I don't think is the best option. And you know, maybe it is that he's just like, I don't want to listen to a dude like Kyrie who like just spews all this idiotic shit all the time.
I mean, from all accounts, Al Horford is the leader of the team. But he's like, he's a quiet dude.
He's not gonna
pick you. Like, he's a good leader on a team where these problems don't arise. Like, he's gonna keep the ship steady.
Yeah.
But if you're rocking back and forth, if there's a storm going on, he's not the leader.
Yeah.
You
like, I mean,
have.
Like for the 08 Celtics, like KG was clearly that guy. Exactly. That was just like, I don't give a
that's,
I'm gonna call you out.
That's what
no
I'm,
matter
that's
what.
That's my biggest point is like with Kyrie Irving.
He's not an enforcer.
Yeah, he's not an enforcer. And it's like, if you look at what Kyrie has done before he was on the Celtics, before LeBron came, I don't think Kyrie's ever proven that he's really has championship DNA besides that finals where he hit that shot. And he had a phenomenal series. But I don't know if that's still, if he really has, I guess, the clout per se, to be that leader
I think he wants to get there and he'll work to get there.
All this year, he's been trying so hard on defense.
Yep.
He bails them out so much. I just think he needs to do it more. Like, because he'll switch. You can see it in him. He switches from passive mode, get my teammates involved, to, all right, crap, we're down 15. Like, let me do a bunch of dribble moves and score.
Okay.
Like, I just think he needs to be in that attack mode
all the time.
Mm. All the time. And then the rest of the people will fall in line.
Yeah. And the last point I'll make is that I feel like the Celtics, this kind of goes back to the talent thing, is I think they need to narrow their focus on offense. Like, I feel like they have so many options where, like, they don't have a set guy to run the offense through, or a set, like, two or three guys to run the offense through, you know? Where, like, a lot of the time it looks out there, like, I see Jason Tatum, like, he drives, gets into a good spot on the post, and then peels out, does that Kobe where he just tries to take the guy one-on-one and then pulls up for a jumper that most of the time doesn't go in. So I feel like, for the talent issue, I don't really think it's an issue. I just think
it's definitely not a talent issue.
I think they just need to focus. I think there needs to be more focus offensively. And that comes down to Kyrie being option number one.
That is one thing. They have refined that. Like, Brad Stevens is not doing a horrible job.
No, he's not.
Like, they've refined the offense since the beginning. Like, at the beginning of the year, all you heard was, and that was more the problem towards the beginning of the year, they're taking bad shots, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have a really good offense. Their defense has slid a little bit.
Right.
But they just need to figure out who's who.
The balance. Yep, I agree.
Stay consistent.
I agree.
And then, you know, championships are coming. Probably next five in a row.
So if I put a gun to your head right now, pull out the gun, put it to your head right now and ask you, do you think the Celtics are still making the finals with this current construction?
I mean, obviously, right now, as they're playing right now,
no.
But I think they'll get there, honestly.
Okay.
I have faith in Brad Stevens, my guy.
All right.
Yeah.
So you think
there's still a chance that they could...
And I also don't believe in any of the other teams in the East.
You don't believe in...
I believe in the Raptors.
You don't believe in the blowout Bucks?
I just believe it's in Toronto's DNA to fail. So, sorry.
It's not in Kawhi Leonard.
Sorry, Toronto.
It's not
in Kawhi. Dwayne Casey is gone, all right? they are not the same anymore.
They got their assistant coach in there, though, Nick Nurse.
He's doing a great job.
Yeah.
With Kawhi Leonard.
Last year, the Raptors did great in the regular season, too.
I don't know. All we need to
You don't believe in the Bucks? You don't believe in the blowout? They blow like everybody.
Yeah, I do believe in the Bucks.
If they trade Eric Bledsoe for somebody a little better, maybe.
Yeah, Eric Bledsoe is their one, you could say, Achilles heel, but he had a good night last night, so I feel like I shouldn't even be.
He got outplayed by Terry Rozier in the playoffs, man.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. So I think that's going to conclude.
He hasn't been the same since.
It's going to conclude our basketball talk. Any final thoughts from you boys?
Celtics blow out the Raptors tonight by 20.
Oh, I sure hope so. Wow. That would be sick.
Assert themselves.
This comes out, tomorrow, so like they're going
to
hear this.
Yeah. And then they probably play like the Grizzlies next and they lose like, to the Grizzlies by 20.
Barely win or lose by like 18. Yeah,
they're going to destroy the Raptors and then lose to whichever crap team they play next.
Yep.
Is my prediction.
Wow. So this comes out on Thursday. So you guys can check that for yourselves to see if that actually happens. But thanks for listening, guys. I'm Jonathan Kerma at jkerma98 on Instagram and Twitter. Trevor.
Trevor Wilson OG on Twitter and Trevor_Wilson08 on Instagram.
You gotta fix that. It needs to be universal. My guy Chris sadly does not have.
I'm Chris Iacobucci. I don't have Twitter, but you can come up real life, shake my hand. I'm a nice guy. It's cool.
Hey, if you ladies, ladies, if you want to get in contact with Chris, just
if you
want to
know about basketball
and Juventus.
Overall sports genius and business major genius, Chris Iacobucci. Just let me know.
I'll six give you, classes I'll give next semester.
I'll give you the number real quick.
An intellectual.
And lastly, make sure you follow 808_ABreaks on both Twitter and Instagram. The Instagram is still not popping. I know we're working on that, but give us a follow on both if you're feeling generous. Thanks for listening, guys. Peace.